Katie. Welcome to the Feel Great podcast.
This is the final episode in this series of the Feel Great podcast. Today, I talk to Amy Stoddard-Ajayi, who is a cognitive behavioural therapist. She has been working in therapeutic environments for 15 years. A lot of that has been with women and family. Amy runs a consultancy that supports the design of mental health and physical health services. In this episode, we talk about perfectionism and why being imperfect is actually quite a wonderful thing. So, Amy, can you tell me what health and well-being means to you?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this since we last chatted. And so on the surface, I think that health and well-being is about achieving some kind of balance. So a physical, emotional, intellectual, financial, spiritual balance. But the problem with this is that we rarely ever achieve that. And if we do achieve it, then it doesn't last for a very long time. And that's because life is constantly evolving and brings change all of the time, and new circumstances tip that balance. And I think a really good example of that is when a woman has a child, because her physiology completely and utterly alters and her emotional state is completely rewired, and her ability to intellectually stimulate herself and bring in an income is temporarily halted. And for many women, the meaning of life and the world changes from a spiritual perspective. So you've got this massive sort of dynamic shift. And so I think that well-being is not as simple as achieving balance in life. It's actually more about how do we manage and cope with our world when it's out of balance, and what are the tools that we can use in order to achieve that.
Very interesting. I like that. And you're totally right. When you've had a baby, everything, it's an emotional and physical roller coaster, and a very interesting one, but also fantastic. So tell me a little bit about your background and how you got into this space. You've obviously got a huge amount of experience in mental health, and you've developed health services for NHS and the private sector. Love to learn a bit more about your background.
So I started off working with my marginalised groups of people about 15 years ago. I've worked in therapeutic services for about 15 years. And then later on with families and young people, and then into adult psychotherapy. So in specialist secondary care psychotherapy, which is basically just means where people's problems are a bit more kind of comorbid, they're more complicated. So it's not where people are hospitalized, but it's kind of the gap between primary care treatment, where you might go to a talking therapies initially and have five or six sessions of CBT, and where someone might need much more than that in order to remain well. So I worked in specialist psychotherapy for 5 years, and a lot of that was with in conjunction with the perinatal team, so with women who were either pregnant or who had just had children and were having psychological problems. And after that, I've moved into the design of healthcare services, and particularly around equality and access to care.
Fantastic. And so we were talking previous to this recording about the role of perfection and how we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be perfect. And you've got some really interesting thoughts and insights on that, haven't you?
Well, I hope so. I think perfectionism is something that you come across an awful lot, and particularly with parents, because there's so many pressures on parents to get things right, and particularly with parents who are working, they're continuously trying to kind of balance, create this balance that I was just talking about, which is between work and home and finances and, you know, your emotional world and your world of fun and all of that stuff. And where you've got something so important as children, the pressure that we place on ourselves becomes greater, and the tendency towards perfectionistic thinking becomes greater. If you think about working parents, and particularly working mums, that often these are women who have been quite successful, that they've been in important positions as well. And in order to get there, they've often been perfectionistic as well. And so the reason that people become so committed to perfectionistic thinking is because for a long time or for a short time, but for a period of time anyway, it works. But the problem with it is that it doesn't work forever. And the more that the pressure mounts up in a person's life, actually the more problematic perfectionistic thinking becomes. Say you've got someone who has been working, they now find themselves at home with a small baby, and they are saying to themselves, you know, I'm not doing a good enough job here, other people are doing it much better, I should be able to be doing more, you know, I'm no longer someone with a professional identity, I'm just someone who produces milk, changes nappies and watches TV, and therefore I'm boring and I'm rubbish and I should be better than this. Something that you often hear from mums. This starts to feed into a decline in mood. So the more perfectionistic our thinking is, the more likely we are to have clinical psychological problems. So depression, anxiety, social anxiety, OCD, it can lead to anorexia, self-harm, addiction. That's what we're finding, is that the higher the perfectionistic traits in an individual, the more likely they are to be psychologically unwell. And actually some researchers are now looking at perfectionism as a chronic growing public health concern, because it's increasing, partly because of our world, you know, we've got an online world, we've got social media, it sort of forces us to look at unrealistic interpretations of other people's lives, and it makes that tendency even greater, and the tendency to compare ourselves to others even greater.
So social media, is that a big issue? Or is that a contributory issue?
Yes. I mean, I think if you want to look at the kind of what are the drivers for perfectionism and perfectionistic thinking, then certainly social media would be one of the things that you'd look at. It's also personality traits. Some people are more likely to be perfectionistic in their thinking, and that's to do with their upbringing, to do with their particular personality. So it's kind of a mix of different things, but our world is changing, and it's more acceptable now in the workplace for bosses to say, you know, I expect nothing but perfection. And so we're living in more demanding work roles and greater working hours. And on top of that, we have a constant sort of feed of images of people who are kind of seemingly balancing life in this perfect way, looking great, feeling great, you know, doing great. And it's what people want us to see, that, you know, they're limiting, filtering their world, you know, for everybody else to see. But it makes it very difficult for the viewer to not start to self deprecate and feed negative thoughts about themselves. So social media certainly is a factor.
Is it better to be good, very good, and not perfect?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So I'm wondering, actually, I mean, this is slightly off topic, but if they should be, you know, at school, I keep saying to my daughter, you don't need to be perfect, you just need to be good. And she's like, but mommy, I do need to be perfect. They tell me I've got to do everything perfectly at school.
It's a really good example of how all of our world is feeding that idea.
So, you know, what can working mums do to help themselves? You know, have you got any sort of tools or advice that we can take on board when we're thinking, you know, we've got to be perfect, or we've got to strive to do everything, you know, better than anyone else, and or to take away from that pressure that I suppose we're putting on ourselves?
Yes, I think like it can be illustrated in different ways. And if I gave you an example of the results, first an example of the results of perfectionistic thinking and how damaging it can be to family life and to work life as well, and to an individual's sense of self-worth, and then go on to look at how you can then alter that. I was working with a woman who, she's a GP actually, very demanding job, two children, one under the age of 10 and one in her teens. Huge financial commitments, big lifestyle to kind of maintain. Didn't see much of her children during the week because she was working very long hours. And she felt really, really trapped between her work commitments and her commitments as a parent. And actually for many years, by the time she ended up in therapy, had told herself that she was ultimately failing as a mother, but also as a GP, and that she should be doing better in both areas, and that she was just a mediocre GP, and that she was a rubbish mum. And, you know, after years and years and years of this self-downing talk, her self-esteem was absolutely reduced to nothing. And shame and guilt were really sort of driving her world, and anxiety as well. And what happens, and what tends to happen with people, with one of the problems with perfectionism, is that making mistakes becomes something that is unbearable. It becomes an unacceptable thing. And we start to avoid acknowledging those mistakes because it becomes too painful to look at. And we hide them from others, and ultimately we start to hide them from ourselves. And when we're faced with them, we start to destroy ourselves with self-criticism, as this lady did. And she became so avoidant that she could no longer bear to spend time with her work colleagues. So she used to be quite social with them, and she stopped doing any of that. She actually stopped attending some of the team meetings because she felt like she couldn't face people. She'd made a few mistakes at work, and she just couldn't face everybody. And so actually her work performance was really going, really seriously going downhill. But really more upsetting, and much more importantly, she started to avoid spending time with the time that she did have to spend with her children. She started to avoid it because every time she spent time with her children, she felt so ashamed and guilty. Spending time with them reminded her of what a rubbish mother she was, that she no longer could bear to spend time with them. This is a chronic example of where perfectionist thinking and anxiety become intertwined. And this person is working against all of her goals. What she really wanted in life was to be able to enjoy her children, you know, and be a good enough mum, and to be able to maintain her job well enough. You know, when it came down to it, that's actually what she really wanted. Mm. She didn't understand that that was acceptable.
That's sad. It sounds upsetting, and I'm sure lots of people are going through it. And I'm sure we all put our pressure on ourselves, don't we, to try and be the best mum we can and be the best we can at work. And sometimes it's not always possible.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you, with someone who becomes that unwell, you have to work with them for quite a long time in order to help them to embrace a new kind of way of thinking. And so I won't illustrate how you do that with this person. I think it'd be more useful to do it in a simpler way, and then people perhaps listening can think about how they might be able to apply these kind of switches in thinking to their own circumstances. And I thought it might be quite helpful to do it with you. So if you...
Oh, gosh, okay.
Not to interrogate you about your own life, but to get you to imagine. So if you are a person who is stressed, as many of us are, work is quite difficult, you kind of worried about how other people view you, you're worried that people will think that you're a bit stressed and neurotic, and that you had a goal that you wanted to have a birthday party for your daughter, but you began to become very anxious about it because you were worried that people would see you being stressed, and therefore they would think that you're a stressed and rubbish mother. That ultimately that was your worry about it and driving this anxiety. If you were to hold a set of inflexible beliefs, and I'll tell you what they are. I'm just going to ask you at the end of it how you would be likely to feel. So you've got the party on Saturday, and yeah, you're thinking to yourself, your worst worry is that people will look at you and think that you're a stressed and rubbish mum.
Which you don't really want people to think, do you? Even though sometimes you feel like that, I suppose you want everyone to think that it's just a walk in the park.
Of course, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what people, yeah, want others to think. Because it feels exposing and it's understandable. But if you think to yourself, people absolutely mustn't think that I'm a stressed and rubbish mum, and I've got to do everything in my power to make sure that people mustn't, don't think that I'm a stressed and rubbish mum. And if they do, then that's actually the worst thing that could happen to me. It's just really, really awful. And I wouldn't be able to stand it. I'd have to run away. I wouldn't be able to stay there at the party. And if they think it, then actually it means that I am rubbish. It's just confirmation of the fact that I am rubbish. Now, if you're preparing for the party, how are you likely to feel if you're thinking those things?
If I was thinking those things, I'd probably be really stressed, thinking, and also just stressed trying to get everything so perfect, actually, that nothing could possibly go wrong, so that I wasn't stressed, so that people couldn't see that I was stressed. And that in itself creates anxiety.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's very likely that that person's going to feel extremely anxious. And when we feel anxious, we release, our brain chemistry changes. So we release stress hormones. There's a hormone called cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And it interferes with our ability to learn, our memory, but also our immune function. So we're more likely to become unwell as well once we start to release stress hormones. So if you think about the impact that stress has on your brain and your ability to organize yourself and prepare well for the party and remember things, then that starts to decline. So your performance starts to go down the more stressed you feel. What kind of behaviors do you think you'd be doing if you were thinking in that way?
Probably running around like a headless chicken, trying to probably do lots of cooking. I've done this before, try and make a cake myself and I don't have time. I totally know how it is, because I'm sure I've done it before. I've had parties of 30 kids when I've literally had a baby 2 weeks before, and trying to keep everything going, and it's slightly chaotic actually.
Yeah. And so if we switched the thinking then, and the desire was the same and the concern was the same, so we can't pretend to ourselves that we don't care about whether people think that we're a stressed and rubbish mum or not. So we have to kind of maintain that. We have to be honest with ourselves and say, well, that's the thing that I'm concerned about. But if you, let's imagine a scenario where you said to yourself, in contrast to people mustn't think that I'm a stressed and rubbish mum, it's my strong preference, really, really, really strong preference, that people don't think that I'm a stressed and rubbish mum. But actually, there's no law in the universe that says that that's a must, that says that that can't happen. And I accept that as a fact. And instead of it being an absolute 100% catastrophe, if people think that I'm a stressed and rubbish mum, it would be bad. It would be pretty bad, and I really wouldn't like it. I'd be uncomfortable with it. But it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world that could happen. There are worse things. I mean, can you think of something worse than people thinking that you're a stressed and rubbish mum?
No one coming to the party.
Yeah, okay, so there we go.
That'd be upsetting for the child. No, obviously, there's loads of worse things.
Yeah.
People's health, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, the fact that you can have a party, you've got the ability to have one, you've got the resources, all those things are great things. And there's lots of things, aren't there, that could be a lot worse.
Yep. And if you thought to yourself, rather than this kind of intolerance of like, I wouldn't be able to stand it if they thought that, and I'd have to leave and it would be unbearable. But if you thought to yourself, well, it would be deeply uncomfortable, but actually I could bear it because I have before in other circumstances, and actually it would be worth bearing it. It would be worth bearing the discomfort of people potentially thinking that about me. Why would it be worth it? Why do you think it would be worth it?
Why do I think it'd be worth people think? Sorry, just
tolerating the idea, rather than saying I can't bear the idea that people might think that, yeah, I'm a stressed and rubbish mum.
Because you can just enjoy it more. You can just let it go, can't you? You can. I suppose if you allow that to happen, you can enjoy the whole process, and you can probably be much calmer about it. And actually, in doing so, you can probably just have a much better day, and it would just be, yeah. I can see that I've done that before, and I can see that when you don't put that so much pressure on yourself, it's just so much better.
Yeah. And if we say to ourselves that instead of if people think that, then it means it's true. If we actually challenge that and say, well, you know, if I'm stressed, does it mean I'm rubbish?
It doesn't. No, it doesn't mean you're rubbish, does it? I suppose you just don't necessarily want people seeing you in that state.
No, sure. Yeah. Ideally, we don't.
No.
Yeah. What if you approached the party in that way and you practiced holding more flexible beliefs that were not catastrophic, that were based in having massive tolerance for difficulty and accepting the fact of the situation that actually you don't want people to think this thing, but you can't actually fully control that, and developing more self-accepting way of thinking that, you know, actually I'm a human being, that I'm fallible, I'm faulted, and I'm imperfect, and actually that's okay, it's acceptable. What do you think you would feel like before the party?
Well, much more relaxed, less anxious, probably. Well, it's sort of weight lifted off your shoulders, isn't it? I'm just thinking about myself running around in the chaos, the awful side, and then when I just allow it all to be and I'm more accepting, then it's more fun, more enjoyable, more just, yeah, there's that pressure is being removed, or some of that pressure, isn't it? Because it's that pressure that's not nice.
Yeah, and I think that realistically we can't aim to not care about stuff and say, well, none of this matters to me and I'm just going to be all, you know, happy as Larry under a circumstance that actually really means something to me and I really care about. But what we can say is that, well, actually, I can balance my thinking to be more realistic and helpful to me so that I feel less deeply concerned about it, in order to get the best out of myself, in order to be more relaxed and to fight the perfectionism, essentially. And so I think that if there's a tool that people can take away with them, then if they take those four sets of beliefs, demands, catastrophic thinking, low levels of tolerance, I can't stand it, demands, I must, I have to, catastrophic, it's the end of the world if this happens, low tolerance, you know, I can't bear it, and self-depreciating, it means that I am fundamentally whatever. And we switch those beliefs and we practice doing that and say, actually, well, this is my preference instead of my demand. Actually, is it really 100% a catastrophe? Is it really, if I really truthfully look at this situation, and do I have the ability to bear it? And actually, why would it be worth bearing it, even though it's horrible and uncomfortable? And can I make a whole judgment about myself because of one thing that I'm doing or one reaction that I'm having? Then we can move closer to achieving the balance that we're looking for in life. Essentially, what I'm saying is that if we want well-being, then being perfectionistic is the worst thing that we can do, that we're going to get the worst out of ourselves. And if we want to develop well-being, that actually we need to look at the idea that being imperfect as a human being is actually quite a wonderful thing and something that we can embrace.
Yeah, I know. I was watching a brilliant video recently that was saying there's just more fun and enjoyment and everything else about the good rather than the perfect and always striving to be perfect. Maybe that just takes all the fun out of it all. And I tell you one thing, with this podcast, I so was striving for perfection, and it was such a struggle for me to put something live. And then I started talking to you and various other people about perfectionism, and I was like, I'm just going to get it out there. It's not going to be perfect, but you've got to just get it out there and enjoy it, haven't you? You've got to enjoy the process.
And it enables you to actually do it. You know, some people might become so avoidant, like the GP lady I was talking earlier, that you may not, if you were placing that much demand on yourself to get it right, then you may not have ever done it.
Exactly. Well, Amy, that has been so insightful and amazing. And the reason I love doing this podcast is I love talking to people like you and learning so much. So thank you so much for being part of the Feel Great podcast. It was brilliant.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So that's it. That was the last episode in this series of six interviews for the Feel Great podcast, where I spoke to experts about health and wellness for working mums. It was great to hear Amy talk about how the strive for perfectionism can actually have serious consequences for our mental health. I set out to do this project as I wanted to learn how to podcast, and this is a topic I'm interested in. A recent article in the Guardian newspaper said that working mums are 40% more stressed. I hope this will change and we will see employers become more supportive, embracing flexible working and encouraging dads to take paternity leave, and that we as mums will understand we don't need to put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect.
I hope you enjoyed the Feel Great podcast. Have a wonderful day.